Unrelentlessly positive.
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever.
It indicates.
Indicative?
Hey, can we focus?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Jane Matinair. And it's Wednesday, so Greg Bach is here. And a quick shout out to happening in downtown Waukesha right now is River Rhythms, which we talked to Robin earlier this week.
Exactly.
So Wednesdays, 11 to 1:30. There's music happening, and our own Johnny Watermolen is down there, so make sure you say hi if you make it down.
Yep, he's got the tent set up. He is going to be there until 1 o'clock, and then Johnny is taking the WKAUK set to the Pewaukee Lake Country Farmers Market. That is at Christ Lutheran Church on Pewaukee Road from 3 p.m. until 7 p.m., and I know for a fact that he has Tootsie Pops to give away.
Oh, did you give him the Tootsie Pops?
I gave him the credit card to buy
I'm out of here. See y'all later. I got Tootsie Pops.
I was going to say, did you give him all the discarded flavors from our Tootsie Pop bowl?
No, he bought new Tootsie Pops.
All right. Well, speaking of music, we're very excited to have our next guest here. It's been a while since we've had him on. But ladies and gentlemen, Matt Wild, co-founder and co-editor of Milwaukee Record, a local arts and entertainment website that has somehow existed since 2014 is That's back right. on the show.
What a setup.
Thank you. It has somehow, against all odds, not only am I alive, but I have a job that this phony baloney job that I made up almost 10 years ago with, of course, my partner in crime, Tyler Moss. Could not do it, of course, without Tyler. Hello, Kristen. Hello, Jane. Hello, Greg. How's everyone doing?
We're doing great.
Great to see you, man.
I'm loving this energy, the Matt Wild energy happening
Matt Wild
here.
Energy.
Oh, well, yeah, when you bring me on, you're getting energy, and you clearly need to fill some time. So it's like, let's get Matt on here. He can blather on about something for about 17 minutes. So it probably bodes well for your show, Kristen, that you haven't had me on in some time, which means that you've actually had guests of, you know, a certain quality. So.
Okay, Matt. All right, enough with
the self-deprecation. Yeah, wow.
Leave it to the stand-up comedians over here. That's my jab.
Okay, all right. You're right. All right. Let's get down to business.
All right. Well, actually, I wanted to give you a shout-out because Gary Witt, owner of Pabst Theater and all the Pabst Theater group, gave you a very nice shout-out recently as far as your coverage of entertainment in Milwaukee, and it came at a dig at the expense of some of the other media outlets and their lack of coverage of music and concerts, but he specifically called you out on how good of a job you do as far as covering the entertainment scene in Milwaukee. So kudos.
It was very nice. I wrote a review of the Flaming Lips show, which was last week at the Riverside Theater. Hadn't seen the Flaming Lips in many years, and saw them last Tuesday at the Riverside, and it was a very lovely, very affecting show, and I kind of walked away very inspired to write what I thought was a very lovely piece, not your typical concert review, so I kind of, you know, went off the rails a little bit, but I like doing that sort of thing, and I was very happy to get a compliment from Gary. The band itself, Flaming Lips, they shared it and did the whole thing. So yeah, it did really well.
That's awesome. Congrats.
You know,
yeah, it was a nice thing to write. So I'm glad it resonated with people.
You know, I'm glad you used the word affected. I feel like the Flaming Lips are a band, even if you don't like them or if you don't know them, you're not a huge fan, I still think everyone should see them because I feel like you're going to walk out of that concert feeling joy and positive. I've seen them 8 times.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
I'm bummed that I missed them last week because I saw them at the Riverside years ago and I danced on stage in a Yo Gabba Gabba costume for the entire time.
Oh, you were
time.
one of those.
I was one of the dancers.
There, yeah.
And it was they can make you feel so good. And I love the fact that they've inspired you to write a great article, too. So, yes, big ups to the Flaming Lips.
Big ups.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you have a lot more to write it on in the next couple of weeks because Summerfest is back.
It's very, very exciting. Summerfest, you mentioned before the break that it had kind of snuck up on you. And, I think that's something we could talk about. It does have that feeling now that it's this weekend quote unquote weekend format. It's actually Thursday, yeah. Friday, Saturday, three consecutive blocks of Thursday, Friday, Saturdays. It does tend to kind of sneak up on folks, and it's certainly changed. And, you know, from years past when it was like a big, like 11 day block, or I think they would take like a Monday off or whatever to, you know, clean the bathrooms or whatever. But, you know, it was a big block of, you know,
it was 10 days, fest. Right? It was 10 days in a row.
When I was a kid, it was uninterrupted.
Yeah.
From the Thursday to the week, like a week and a half.
I think it's until 2019 it was uninterrupted.
Well, no, for a couple of years they were taking that like July 4th off because just no one was coming in.
That's right. So, yeah, now they started this three-weekend format, I believe, in 2021, mm-hmm. I want to say, was the first time. So there obviously wasn't a Summerfest in 2020 mm-hmm. at all. And then they came back in 2021 with this three-weekend deal. And that year was very, very strange. Not only was it just kind of, you know, whether or not it was out of the pandemic is, you know, up to you know,
the
everyone, but it was still kind of in that shadow, and it was like pushed back until like late in the summer. It was practically fall.
That's right.
2021. Yeah. The opening weekend was like Labor Day weekend, and like nobody went because, you know, for a million reasons, and like including me, it's like I have Labor Day plans. I go camping mm-hmm. for Labor Day, and so like nobody went. I think the subsequent weekends picked up a little bit. So that was kind of a very bizarre year. And then last year, it was kind of, I guess, back to quote-unquote normal, back to the three-weekend format again. And now in 2023, I am very, very curious about this year's Summerfest because 2023 feels like the real deal. We're out of the pandemic. You know, I know, I don't, whatever, I'm going to say it. Pandemic. We're out of the pandemic. It's you know, it's post-pandemic. It's here it is. I'm really curious, like how this one is going to pan out because I don't know. I like Summerfest. I have aged into the, you know, like prime Summerfest demographic of like everything I'm excited to see at Summerfest. All the artists are playing at like 3 p.m. So
check out Collective Soul.
Yeah, I'm, you know, it's like very exciting. It's like I'm seeing Jenny Lewis at 4 p.m. Oh. Like, I cannot wait. Super excited. And Collective Soul at 10. I'm going to have to think about that. But so I don't know. I'm just very, very curious about this year. Attendance at Summerfest has been interesting.
It has been declining.
It has been declining. And even before the pandemic, I think the last 2019, the last kind of pre-pandemic year, the attendance was 718,144. That was actually the lowest at the time, the lowest attendance in like 30 years for Summerfest. That was 2019, before the pandemic. Then, of course, in 2020, there was no Summerfest at all. 2021, it was 409,000. And then last year, 2022, it was a slight uptick, but really not that much. It was 445,000. People.
And that's so that's so that cumulative is, over all of the days. So that could be repeat people coming back.
That's a really good question. I could not tell you. I don't know.
I know that so when I work for Pride Fest, we would check the counters when you walk in, it clicks like or with tickets. You can do ticket scans or you can count when you walk in that like that thing, that bar will click the visitors. Mm-hmm. So you can get those counts. So,
but like if you're someone who goes every single day, mm-hmm. you get counted 9 times.
Possibly, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
So
I would think so, yeah.
So the overlap there. So I guess we're talking to Matt Wild, who's a co-founder and co-editor of Milwaukee Record, about Summerfest, which kicks off this weekend. I like Summerfest. I like going to walk around. I would say there's no one specific that Greg rolled his eyes at me this morning. We are going to go see Dave Matthews Band next week. Which I'm very excited about. It's very nostalgic. He puts on a great show. I don't care. But I still just like the vibe of going down and there's music everywhere. Yeah. And when the weather's good, you're like, this is awesome. Like you can just kind of walk and roam from stage to stage and find new music. But I guess in thinking through those numbers, and I'm sure I'm not the first person to ask this question, but like at this point, who is Summerfest for?
Yeah, that's kind of the big question. And it's, I think, you know, for so, so long, it was a festival. It's such a bizarre kind of idiosyncratic festival. And it's part of the reason why I love it so much. It's this weird festival that tries to be like everything to everyone, you know, as much as it can. And of course, it's going to leave out some real kind of, you know, outlying kind of music genres. But like, you know, there's not a lot of hardcore music at Summerfest. Actually, there might be this year, come to think of it. But, you know, it tries to be everything to everyone. It tries to have a little bit of everything. And I think for the longest time that worked for Summerfest throughout the, you know, like 70s and 80s and into the aughts. I think the highest attendance year for Summerfest was like 2001 or the early aughts. I think it topped 1 million people. And that's back when it was, yeah, 10 or 11 days. But these days, I'm just always curious. Yeah, that is the question. Like, who is this for? Because I think the music business and just the way we consume music has changed so much just in the last, you know, decade, really. And music has become so fragmented and so niche, and fandoms are, there's just a million tiny little fandoms of people who like absolutely love one artist that the fandom, you know, right next door has never heard of. And it's, you just don't have these big tent mainstream artists like you used to. I mean, of course there are some, and you know, there are people like, you know, the very top would be, you know, people like Taylor Swift or Beyonce, folks like that. They're still out there, but they're just not as many as those big mainstream artists as there once were, that would, you know, there'd be a dozen of them playing like any random Summerfest 1 year. And now it's like, yeah, I mean, Dave Matthews Band is, you know, I mean, there are a lot of these legacy groups that, you know, do have a big audience, but, you know, especially the ground stage headliners, I just are increasingly more niche, and there are real dedicated fan bases for a lot of these artists. But like I said, if you ask the person standing next to you if they know this person, they're like, I have no idea who this is. So,
and it's so interesting because we're going to talk about this more after the break, but I feel like that's the same thing with a lot of different media. Like, there's no movie stars anymore because there's a lot of famous people. There's lots of people who have millions and millions of followers that you have never heard of, right? Because we all live in our little like corners of whatever platform we consume stuff on. So we got to take a break, but we're talking to Matt Wild, co-founder and co-editor of Milwaukee Record, about Summerfest. We'll be back in a minute.
In the summertime, when the weather is high, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's fine, you got women.
Welcome
got
back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Bednar. He is Greg Bach. We are talking to Matt Wild from Milwaukee Record, and we're going to get right to the call on the phone from Scott. We have a question.
Scott from Chicago, what do you want to ask?
Hey, so I don't recall whether Lollapalooza was a response to Summerfest or the other way around, but it seems like when the artists were released for Lollapalooza, the reception was very underwhelming. A lot of people were saying, like, I don't see a single artist I want to see this year. And I remember maybe 10, 15 years ago, it used to be the number one thing in Chicago. I guess kind of my question is, does it seem like music festivals as a whole are on the decline?
I would say you're absolutely right. I think the big festivals, your Coachellas, your Lollapaloozas, Bonnaroos, like that, I think there was kind of a bubble that burst even maybe right before the pandemic started. Of course, that's kind of the big division point, 2020. But even before that, I think it was getting to a point where a lot of these festivals were just kind of getting too big. And like I was talking about before, you know, everything had become so fragmented that there was just so many bands that, you know, maybe, you know, 20 people were really excited about, but that was it. I absolutely agree. Speaking of Summerfest and Lollapalooza, I remember one of my first shows that I ever went to was Lollapalooza in 1994. Which was held at the Summerfest grounds. This is way back when Lollapalooza was like a touring thing, it toured the country. And that was like a huge, huge deal. And that was like my first big show that I ever went to. I was still in high school. And it was actually the Flaming Lips played like outside on the second stage. But like the headliners were, I believe it was the year that Nirvana was supposed to play. They obviously did not. But it was like the Smashing Pumpkins, the Beastie Boys, Nick Cave, the Frogs from Milwaukee, the Breeders, on and on and on. And that was, you know, really felt like a big tent kind of very of the time alternative bands of that era. But, you know, as time has gone on, even those bands, which, you know, got played 24 hours on MTV, there's just nothing like that anymore. And everything has become so fragmented. So, yeah, I think, you know, whether it's Lollapalooza or Coachella, I think a lot of those festivals just kind of got too big and they just don't quite fit into the current musical landscape.
Thanks for calling, Scott. Thanks for listening too.
Yeah, it's interesting of just the, like, what do you want to spend your money on?
Well, that's the thing too, is when you tell me you're going to Lollapalooza or Ride Fest in Chicago, you're telling me you're going to go see some bands. If you're telling me you're going to Bonnaroo or Coachella, you're telling me you have money. That's what you're telling me. Like, that's what I hear when I hear those two festivals, because they're very expensive festivals and they're about luxury and glamour and stuff like that.
What is going to Burning Man tell you about a person?
Oh, just wash yourself and stop reading so much bee poetry, you hippie.
You're a leather worker. Yeah. I don't know.
You own an artisan mayonnaise shop. I don't know. But the question I have is with this format now, the three weekends, and this is, I mean, I'm not saying it's conspiracy theory because it's not that deep, but could Summerfest be tempting with the idea of like going to a weekend festival, like one weekend? You have all that space. You could pack it with all the bands they have at Lollapalooza in an easier way to access them, charge a huge ticket price, and you have one weekend Summerfest music festival, and there it is. And you can have those tentpole legacy bands playing at all these stages. And you can also have up-and-coming musicians playing in the daytime as well, not just local bands or touring bands who happen to be there in the day. I mean, could that be where Summerfest is going?
That's interesting. I've never considered that. I have been kind of wondering about just the size of Summerfest, especially when I went last year. Again, attendance was, you know, like in the 400,000 range, 450 or whatever. But it just struck me there was just so much space that was not being used. And there were so many like beer kiosks that were just closed. And it just seems like that entire grounds is so, so big. And it worked well, you know, for decades and into the early aughts. But now, again, that's why I'm really curious about this year. Mm-hmm. Like if this year is a big rebound or not, because I did get this sense last year. I was like, boy, this just feels, the grounds feel too big. And even the three weekend format, Greg, like you were saying, maybe feels too big and too spread out. I don't know.
Because there is one thing that Summerfest does do. And I think especially since in the 21st century is a reinvention, a revitalization. Because I remember growing up, when you went to Summerfest, you were always seeing the REO Speedwagon cover band, the Journey cover band, the Meatloaf cover band. And then all of a sudden you start seeing bands like, oh, these are bands I really like and my friends really like, and they're popular on alternative radio, starting to bring in different acts and reinventing to make it more palatable. So maybe this next step is making it for the masses.
Yeah. Well, with the minute and a half that we have left, Matt, what's coming up with Milwaukee Record? Any shows? Any movies?
We have a movie tonight, actually. We do a monthly screening at the Avalon Atmospheric Theater in Bayview, and tonight we are screening Starship Troopers, the classic, oft misunderstood film from the 90s, Starship Troopers. That's screening tonight at the Avalon at 7 p.m. Tickets are still available, and we'll be back next month at the Avalon. We always do these old retro screenings. So, yeah, check us out.
Very great. That's great. Well, we'll have to have you back sooner than we won't go as much time in between appearances.
Right.
And so
I'll be waiting right here in my office.
I know, just, you know, the it's not the EAA that you came on last year and bitched about. What was the air show? You're not a big fan of the air show.
The air and water
show. But not the one in Oshkosh, the one in the Milwaukee. You are, I remember.
It's awful.
So maybe
we'll air and water. See, I'm not alone.
It's awful.
We'll have you back to complain about that again this year. Get off my lawn.
That is July 22nd to the 23rd, so buckle up.
All right. Matt Wild is the co-founder and co-editor of Milwaukee Record. Certainly check them out. It is a very entertaining website with lots of good writing and lots of great reviews of music, local music. Thanks for your time, Matt.
Thank you.
All right, we're taking a break. We'll be right back.
We go fishing or go swimming in the sea. We're always happy. Life's for living, yeah, that's our philosophy. Sing along with us. Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, we're happy. Da-da-da.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madner. He is Greg Bach. And if you've listened to the show at all, you know that I am a big sports fan, grew up in a big sports household. My dad played basketball for the Badgers. My brother, you didn't know that, Greg?
No.
Oh, yeah. And so I grew up playing sports, and I'm a big advocate of sports, not so much because I think, you know, every kid's going to get a chance to go play in college or whatever, but just because of what it teaches you. And the thing is, I was very fortunate to be able to play all of these different sports. And my parents made sure I was active and involved in all these things, but that is not the case for everyone. And so I'm so excited to welcome our next guest. Quentin Prince is the executive director of the Milwaukee Youth Sports Alliance, which is a collective effort to ensure Milwaukee's youth have access to high quality sports program. Welcome to the show, Quentin.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here.
And so tell us more about Milwaukee Youth Sports Alliance.
Yeah, so the Milwaukee Youth Sports Alliance is a relatively new organization. So it started in 2018, essentially from a series of conversations that were happening in the community. The Greater Milwaukee Foundation had an event called On the Table. And so essentially what they did is they tried to tackle Milwaukee's problems by convening stakeholders and, you know, discussing these problems and finding solutions to them. And so from one of these conversations, they talked about youth sports and what youth sports look like in Milwaukee. And so there were a number of stakeholders at the table who decided, you know, we need to do something. And so in 2018, the Milwaukee Bucks, Beta Philanthropies, Milwaukee Kickers, and then America Scores Milwaukee essentially formed what we now know as the Milwaukee Youth Sports Alliance. And so that's how we started in 2018. And so we are essentially, like you said, a collective effort to support and amplify what youth sports looks like here in Milwaukee to make sure, ensure that all youth have access to high quality youth sports programs that support not only their physical well-being, but also their mental well-being.
So then how does it work, like, practically? Because I'm assuming you guys aren't the ones that are necessarily running the Little League or running the basketball tournaments. And there's so many different sports that kids can get involved in. And so how do you like the Alliance bridge the gap between kids who want to play and getting them connected to the programs that already exist or making those programs even better than they already are?
Yeah, exactly. So we, as an organization, see ourselves as the intermediary. We aren't the organization that are putting on the events. We're supporting the organizations that are already doing the great work. We kind of see ourselves as like the intermediary, but then like the governing body of all youth sports. And so if you've got organizations like the Boys and Girls Club or Milwaukee Rec or any private sports organizations, we support the work that they're doing and amplify not only the work, build capacity and then build awareness. You know, if there are organizations within communities that are offering sports programs that kids don't know about, we want to make sure that the word is getting out and the parents are able to access those programs. So that's kind of the function that we see ourselves in. It's somewhat of a new idea to have an organization that is a youth sports organization, but we don't offer sports. Mm-hmm. We're the supportive body. And so when I'm talking to people about the work that we do, they often are like, well, what do you do? When can I sign my kids up for basketball?
Where's the registration form?
Exactly. And so I'm like, you know, we don't do that, but we've got 72 organizations that are part of our membership that we want to connect you to. And so our role or our focus is to make sure that the community is connected to these organizations and then support those organizations. So, for example, we provide training for all of our members. And that training consists of training all coaches and mentors in social emotional learning, trauma informed care, and sports based youth development. We want to make sure that those coaches have that foundation to kind of build off of when they're interacting with youth. You know, if we are as parents entrusting these coaches to do great work with our kids, we want to make sure that they're adequately prepared in order to understand what youth development looks like and how to manage a kid's emotions or how to integrate social emotional learning into your practices, or understanding that some kids might come with some level of trauma and our engagement with them can determine whether or not they have a great experience in sport or a horrible experience in sport. Yeah. And so understanding those things is, you know, kind of like the meat of what we do.
We're talking to Quentin Prince, who is the executive director of the Milwaukee Youth Sports Alliance, about the program, how it works. But I also, like, I kind of touched on this in the beginning. Like, I know what sports gave me and gave my friends and stuff. But, like, there's actual data that shows what youth sports can do for a kid, right? As far as, like, the benefits it provides for their character, for their success, for just, like, finishing school. So what are some of the data points or success stories that you point to as far as, like, why this is so important to fund and prioritize?
Exactly. So we know that, you know, kids participating in sports, they get all kinds of things outside of the physical wellness. You know, it dabbles in how to teach them to be a leader, communication skills, how to work within a team. We know all those benefits, but we don't always see sports as that thing that provides all those benefits. And that's one thing that we want to do as an organization, is to get people to understand it's not about your kid just going to play in the game. We're trying to create great humans. And so understanding the benefits that you get from sport, like you said, there's tons of data out there that show that. But then also getting people to understand that sports is not something that's separate from youth development. It's a part of the whole. Hmm. And so making sure that people understand, if you want to make sure that your kid is holistically developed, you have to integrate sports in there, because it provides all those other things. And like you said, we see the data to show, you know, if a kid participates in sports, how they do better in the classroom. They're more engaged, they're more active, they're more attentive. If a kid participates in sports, how that impacts health disparities and future health outcomes. If a kid participates in sports, we understand that they're less likely to be out in the streets, you know, committing some type of crime. So it's connected not only to education, health, and, you know, the community as a whole, as far as the benefit that it provides a kid an outlet to be involved in something positive and not out there doing negative things. So we understand all of those things, and we want to make sure that the community at large understands that.
And so with, because this, as I was reading a little bit more about this, there is a huge discrepancy, though, and this is part of why you guys exist as an organization. And I think Wisconsin Policy Forum, which we have on the show a lot, they did a whole paper on this as far as the discrepancies of access to sports. And that's things that I, having been a kid, didn't really, you know, you don't necessarily, and I don't have a kid yet, but it's like the cost of being in sports and whether or not your schools has sports. And so what has kind of the landscape been, is like created barriers or obstacles to kids actually participating?
Exactly. So when we started the organization, the Wisconsin Policy Forum and our leaders at MISA essentially put together a report, and that report was that report was titled Above the Rim, and it gave us a high level overview of what youth sports looked like in Milwaukee, but then also the barriers to accessing sports. And one of the top two things were transportation and cost. And so we understood that kids wanted to participate in sports, parents wanted them to be able to participate in sports, but they lacked the financial means to be able to access it. And so then that creates a barrier. So that's part of our mission, is to make sure that kids have that access. So whether it's us partnering with organizations that can help subsidize the fees and costs that come along with that, or getting organizations to understand that when you create this fee structure, you have to be conscious of the fact that you might be creating a barrier.
Yeah.
And so I often have a conversation with private sports organizations that, you know, have high fees. You know, soccer, for example, is an organization or a sport that historically is like the, or not historically, but like within the last few years has increased like that pay to play model. And so kids are essentially boxed out of that. I was talking to a gentleman last week over at Northwestern Mutual, and he was talking about his kids participating in sports and how they were shelling out at least 10 grand a year for the kids to participate in just soccer programs.
And like, how old were the kids?
12.
Jeez.
Quentin, you said $10,000?
$10,000.
That's more than a year at like a UW school.
Ridiculous. And so we want to make sure that those type of things aren't necessarily happening and boxing people out of the access. Because again, if you don't have access to the sport because of the fees that are associated with it, then you miss out on all those other things we talked about, the benefits of, all the other benefits that come along with sport that we know of. So we want to make sure that kids have access.
That is, because I read, it's like the privatization of youth sports. And like, you think about it, you think about like AAU tournaments and all these things that are your kid has to do this if they're going to have any chance of playing in college, which totally loses sight of all the benefits of benefits of playing sports, not just it being a stepping stone to the next thing. It's like, no, you're actually like being a better person, learning teamwork, like learning how to lose, all these things. And so when was the kind of like the tipping point of when sports were just kind of available and like youth sports was a, I don't want to say a public good, but as far as it was just like,
it was
just
there.
Could be part of it versus you needed to have money to play.
You went to the Y, you signed your cup for soccer and they played soccer for a few years. That was it. Like, that's what we did when I was little. It was just there.
Exactly.
And so when did that start to change?
So in the early 2000s is actually when it changed. So, when I'm having this conversation with people about access to sports, I reference when I grew up in the 80s and 90s and I was playing sport. If you walked around a neighborhood and you asked 10 kids, do you play a sport? Nine out of 10 would say, yes, I play a sport because I'm able to participate in this league and this league and whatnot. Now we don't have that because we've got the prioritization of, what sports look like. And I understand it's business. It's a big business. But the more programs that you don't allow access to, the more kids who lose out on the opportunity to participate in sports. And so there are sports clubs that are out there that understand that, and they are determined to make sure that there's access and equity when it comes to sports. And they're doing tremendous work. It doesn't, hurt their programs at all. But it really does hurt my heart sometimes when I see families who want to participate in sports but don't have the means, or when I'm talking to, colleagues or friends or peers, and they're like, my son, I was talking to one last week. She was saying she was packing. I was like, are you packing? You moving? Where are you going? Oh, my son has a baseball tournament and he's going here, here, and here. And then I asked her how much she is paying for her son to participate in these programs. And it's unfortunate that, that is the business, and hopefully we'll see some change, because ultimately the things that we do now when it comes to sport will determine what sports looks like 10 years from now. And so if we don't find a way to change, we're going to have even more kids missing out on those opportunities 10 years from now.
Well, and also missing out on probably some really good athletes.
Yeah.
And it's not always a meritocracy of who gets opportunities to play versus who gets, whose parents can necessarily ship them off to be in every tournament and on every sport. Go ahead, Greg.
Still can't believe $10,000 to play soccer.
Like 12.
If you would have told me $10,000, I would have said, oh, yeah, hockey. Because there's all the equipment. But like soccer was like you showed up, they may even give you shin pads, and then here's the ball, go run around for a little while. How much is it going to cost? $12. Sign up for the summer. You know what I mean? Like, that just sounds criminal.
Well, with a couple minutes that we have left, Quentin, where should people find more information about the Alliance or anything else that's been going on with the group?
Yeah, so we are on all social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. I'm not active really on Twitter, but you can also go to our website and get all information as far as events and whatnot that we have coming up, programs that you can get involved in. And we want to get the word out there, and we want to bring people in to understand this is a movement that's happening. I want people to jump on board.
Absolutely. Well, Quentin Prince is the executive director of the Milwaukee Youth Sports Alliance. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. This was super informative.
Appreciate you having me. This is awesome. Thank you.
Have a great day. All right. Bye. When we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll find out what's going on at the Laughing Tap this weekend.
Oh, baby.
This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Medinair. He is Greg Bach. And Johnny Watermelon is still down at River Rhythms. Yes.
Tricky,
I got it.
Tricky
River
Indicative.
Rhythms. I keep thinking of Rhythm and Booms, which was the annual Madison event for 4th of July that was fireworks, but it was set to music.
Oh, cool.
So if you tuned into the appropriate radio station, you could hear the music that was set to the fireworks, and like you'd go into different parks and you could see it, and it was awesome. And so every time I think I hear Rhythm for River Rhythms, I want to say Rhythm and Booms.
I know whoever came up with that really patted themselves on the shoulder that day. Rhythm and Booms, you get it?
Get it?
The thing is,
the music and the fireworks.
Take my raise.
Stop down and see Johnny Watermelon. He's got stickers.
Wait, is his name Watermelon?
Yes.
Is it always been Watermelon? Watermelon?
It's Mullen, yes.
I've been calling him Johnny Watermelon this whole time.
He answers to that too.
Oscillates between how he introduces himself. The first time he ever introduced himself, he said Watermelon, and I think he thinks it's easier for people to, because he's an accommodating person.
That's just so Midwestern.
Yes.
It's like Jerry from The Office.
Anyway, go see Johnny. He is down at River Rhythms, Waukesha Old Bus Station. He'll be there until 1 o'clock today. And we had a text or two from the 262 that said Riverside Rhythms in Waukesha has the best food truck in the area at it today, Phoenix Mobile Grill. Try the Korean barbecue beef or the quesabirria.
All right.
I think we should go right after the show, you guys, and let's go get some lunch.
Is that texture from the Phoenix restaurant themselves? That was a very detailed description of. But hey, do your thing. Do your thing, Jelly Bean.
But maybe it's in my head now, and that's what I'm going to order.
Advertise that local business.
Exactly. All right. Speaking of advertising a local business.
I did that. Set it up right on the park.
What's going on at Laughing Tap this weekend?
Oh, my good gravy, my friend. We're going to be having great shows here with Casey Shornema, Saturday Night Live writer.
Oh, is coming currently?
Currently.
So well, she's on not, strike. Not, she's not, on strike right now.
Correct. But she's going to bring her comedy, her stand-up comedy, to the Laughing Tap for two shows. So one Friday, one Saturday. Tickets are selling right now, but they're still available. LaughingTap.com if you'd like to grab those tickets. Both shows at 7:30 both nights. And it's going to be really fun. Jane, we have a clip?
We do have a clip.
I'm doing great, too. I just came out to my coworkers. Thanks. As Asian, I had to, because since the pandemic started, I've been living as a Hispanic woman. Everyone was like, the Asian virus. I was like, aye, you know? Okay, lastima. I am Asian. I date a white guy. You guys knew that because you've seen porn before.
Oh,
I do. I fight with my boyfriend a lot. We fight because he says dumb shit to me, all right? Like the other day, he looked at me and he said, "You are so beautiful. Has anyone ever told you that?" I was like, "I'm 27 years old. Why would no one ever have told me that? What do you think? You're some quirky guy who likes an ugly b-? dude. Like, you think I've never been added on Facebook by an older Indian man?
I'm telling you, if you can, it's a Just for Laughs clip. Casey Sharnum, I watched that whole thing. It is phenomenal. I mean, it's so sharp. She's so deadpan, and she's just you don't expect the words to come out of her, and they do. And I was telling Jane, having a hard time finding a portion of the clip, because she doesn't swear a lot, but she swears enough where you're like, oh, I don't want to take away from the joke on the clip, but I cannot wait for her to be here. I'm so excited. So if you want to see some, I mean, just great writing, some great stand-up comedy, Laughing Tap this weekend, Casey Sharnuma, 7:30 Friday, 7:30 Saturday. Tickets are still available. And then the following 2 weeks, the Laughing Tap is closed.
Ooh, vacation?
We close the first we close around the June, July area because we got the Summer Fest. It's getting real hot out there. People are wanting to get outside, and going inside to see comedy is not the big priority. So just take 2 weeks off. It's usually very low selling time anyway. So I get to enjoy some Friday and Saturday nights at home, or I'll go out. Maybe I will. Hearing about the attendance at Summerfest, maybe I will go now. Because one of the things for me, I don't dislike Summerfest for anything other than just so many people.
I agree with you.
It makes me anxious. And I don't say to be like, ugh, people. Like, it's just for me, it's like when you're bumping into people constantly, it kind of takes away from the fun. But if it's a little bit more sparse, maybe I will go. Who knows? I mean, right now, I mean, anyone's like, do you need Summerfest tickets? I got Summerfest tickets. Do you need 50 of them? I'll give you 50 of them. Casey Sharnuma this weekend, Friday, Saturday. Also, I got to say something really quick.
Okay.
Got a call from a gentleman yesterday here at the studio. He wasn't upset with me, but he wasn't mad. He was disappointed. So if you want to come to the Laughing Tap, folks, here's the deal. You have to be 18 or older to get in without a parent or legal guardian. If you want to get in with a child, they have to be 16 and you have to be their parent or legal guardian. Under 16, not admitted, period. 16 to 17 must be with a parent or legal guardian. 18 and over, you can get in. We just ID you, put a stamp on your hand so you can't drink. Go from there. But I just want to make that clear now. He brought his son to the club to do stand-up for a project, and I understand, and I didn't make it, but it is on the website. I'm just going to say that right now. It's on the website.
But he called you here?
He was on the phone calling for Earl's show and then happened to recognize my voice and said, hey, here's the thing. And I'm like, all right, cool. His son was in eighth grade. We couldn't let him in. I mean, that's just what
it was. Was it for a show or was it for the open mic?
It's for the open mic, yeah.
So even open mic, young.
No.
If you're under 16, you got to practice your joke somewhere else.
You can, if you're 16 to 17, you can bring a parent. We've had that. We've had people bring their parents. So just want to make that very clear. But Casey Sharnuma this weekend, 7:30 Friday, 7:30 Saturday, laughingtap.com. Then 2 weeks off. Open mic tonight. If you want to come on down, 7:30 it begins. 7 o'clock sign up. I love you all.
Greg Bach, everybody.
Greg Bach loves you all, people. You're my little babies.
All right, we're going to go get some lunch at Riverside Rhythms.
Yes. At the Phoenix Truck.
At the Phoenix Truck.
Yum.
Thank you for texting. Thanks you for calling. Thank you for being part of the show. We will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. to do it all over again. This is As Goes Wisconsin.